community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Welcome back to Phoenix FM. It's just gone 10 o'clock. I'm Paul Golder. Now, we were delighted to talk to renowned Serbian-American composer and pianist Marina Arsenejević. She's been nominated for an Emmy for her TV program Marina at West Point, Unity Through Diversity, which airs on PBS in the United States. She's performed at Carnegie Hall in the White House and won numerous awards both for her music and her humanitarian efforts. We're going to be talking to her after this. This is one of a number of tracks that she uploaded to her YouTube channel during the course of the last few months. Performing with tenor John Ryson, this is her classical take on a 60s classic, Delilah. Just heard a rendition of Delilah from classical pianist Marina Arsenejević and tenor John Ryson, and I'm delighted to be joined by Marina on the phone. Hello, Marina.
Hello, Paul. It's so great to talk to you.
Yeah, no, it's almost like we're in the same room, but you're over in Michigan at the moment, is that right?
Yes, I'm in Michigan. It's outside Detroit, called Bloomfield Hills. Other than that, I live in Manhattan, Midtown, and now I have created my whole concert hall and studio where I'm recording, performing, and streaming. Wow. During the COVID.
Now, you're Serbian-American. You're originally from Belgrade in what was then, of course, Yugoslavia. Tell us about your upbringing there, particularly your musical upbringing, because you've been playing the piano since you were four. Is that right?
That's correct. Well, I was really obsessed with the piano ever since I was four, and I saw one being played at my classical ballet class by the accompanist, and I really didn't like standing and dancing, so I would every class I would stand by piano accompanist until my ballet teacher told my parents, listen, can you please take her out from here and take her to music school? And it took them about a year or two because I was collecting all the miniature pianos of all types and sizes. And after collection grew over 100, they were finally convinced to buy me a real piano. But Yugoslavia, as you remember, we were a communist country, but more free than everybody else in that Eastern so-called bloc. My father was the head of a water company, and they were building pipelines between Croatia and Italy. And so I would get all sorts of little pianos that were very fancy, and they thought I don't need a new one, actually the real one. So I was a very curious child and very active, and I annoyed my parents. So piano was really as a rescue for everybody. And I would bang on that piano for hours, and they were so, so happy because I stopped asking them thousands of questions that I always had. I now think of that time when they're telling me stories. You know, those very active, curious children that have special talents. So I guess I was one of them. And the teachers always suggested that I should be always occupied, because if I'm not, I'm so bored and I torture everyone around me. So I was, it was piano, it was then obviously ballet, it was swimming. My father was a professional soccer player, and he was just about to start his career as an economist, and then it helped them. So I was occupied 100%.
And you were very good from a very early age as well, because by the age of 9 that you were playing to big audiences, weren't you?
Yes, I was had my debut solo concert in my hometown, and teachers brought the students to a concert hall that from my school. So I had over 2,000 people all of a sudden. And that was obvious that I not only loved piano, but I loved stage. And sometimes somebody can be very good in a room, and when they go out to the people, they cannot express themselves. So that was completely reversed situation with me. I loved stage, and I love performance, and that feed me to give the audience extra.
Now, living in Yugoslavia in the 1990s must have been a very difficult time for you and your family. What were those times like for you?
Well, it was tough because, you know, I was developing my own self. I was a really great student general in regular school, and I got all sorts of awards from mathematics to literature to physics, biology, and I was going to a separate music school. As you know, in Europe we have two schools, and then in the early 90s, when I was becoming a big star, the break of Yugoslavia started, and we all know President Tito, and he created that non-aligned countries, and we were kind of living in a sort of a bubble until he died. And I was very, very, I was just a kid. So I had some great Russian professors that came through Yugoslavia to go to the West. So during the USSR, they could not go to the West. So I was fortunate actually enough at that time to become a soloist with the St. Petersburg soloists, how they call them. Mm. So since the full Philharmonic wasn't able to travel, they used me as a soloist for a chamber Mozart concerto. So I recorded with them, and that became one of the really best-selling classical CDs in the Central and Eastern Europe. At the time, we had the Yugo Concert Music Agency that was government-owned, that was accepted throughout the world. So I was represented by them, and that was actually how my professional career started. And then when the war started, and it's all of a sudden, since I lived in Belgrade, Serbia, we didn't have at the time that kind of killing that Bosnia had. Mm. But we had horrible sanctions, and my friends that lived in Bosnia were affected. As a matter of fact, my very, very close friends' children at the time were left at grandparents' home in mountain town in Serbia. So I was there helping them also to survive 2 years while parents were left in a bloody war between Bosnians, Serbs and Croatians and Muslims. Mm. So it was tough to understand at the time because we were brought in a multicultural and multi-ethnic situation. And everything that I understood was in through music that we shared that common humanity through music. And I, at the time, realized that the only weapon I had was my own music. So that was the time when I started to create music, even though I was really a very successful, just classical pianist. But I understood that's not enough. That will not help situation. That will not help people understand how much in common we have versus hating each other based on somebody said something one day, and it burned into a bloodiest war, by the way, in the recent history since World War II. So I have started to combine Christian and Muslim melodies and rhythms into something I called my Balkan soul. Mm. And with kind of a twist, classical world music with a little bit of pop and jazz, but at some territories I wasn't able to perform because I would, for example, use a Serbian famous traditional melody with Albanian Muslim melody from Kosovo or Bosnia, and at some areas I couldn't perform all that because they were hating each other. Mm-hmm. So the time came when 1999, when we had bombing Serbia, as you know, by the Allies, I stayed throughout the whole war and bombing in Belgrade. And I have so many offers from the West to perform. So I've got all these visas to go and perform. But I decided to stay during the bombing because I also thought I'm the only child too. I have parents. And I also thought that if I perform, I give my people some type of different reality. Mm. So I perform all over. I performed during the bombing, which was at the time 24 hours. I would go to very close to Kosovo. During that time, I gave many interviews. One of them were for like Paris Match in France to Patrick Besson, who wrote in one sentence that there's so many people who left who were able to leave, like money-wise. They would go to London, mm-hmm. by the way. And those who have some other dreams and hopes, like, and he mentioned me, a famous pianist, she stayed in downtown Belgrade and performed all over Serbia. And then I created a composition by the name Kosovo, which I used as I say, Christian and Muslim melody and rhythm to show our common humanity. And I perform, it happened to be the last day of bombing. I didn't know that it would be the last day of bombing at the National Museum. And while I performed, I started to cry. Because at that point, I realized the country that I was born, that we all cherish, that multicultural situation was gone, that I have committed a few days before that to go to United States. I was invited for several concerts, so I decided to leave. And while I was crying, I kind of felt that the audience had tears in their eyes. And they didn't know that I'm leaving. Nobody knew except my parents. It was kind of an interesting situation that I just decided I just want to try to spread this message all over the world and not be at the time when we had issues with Milosevic, as you remember. And so it was a tough times. But as you know, for an artist, it's very important to have a outlet where you express yourself fully. It's important that you suffer also at some periods of time. It's very important. So I have something in myself that gave me that depth and suffering to transfer into a music, so you can feel as an audience something different than just from someone who sits in their room and practice in a comfortable situation.
Yeah, very emotional performance, and that came over in the work. And you mentioned you moved to the United States straight after that. Now, while you've been in the United States, you've had some incredible experiences there, haven't you? I mean, it's very difficult to pick some highlights, but what would be your highlights of the best performances you've had there?
Well, ever since I came, I would say that I started from the very bottom in terms of performances, even though I reached a lot before that. So I perform in every church possible, every denomination. And when that, about a year, I got my first Carnegie Hall invitation, where I did perform my Balkan Soul instead of playing some just classical music. That brought me a lots of New York press, and I was noticed pretty much in the United States. I performed for a First Lady's Luncheon at the time, in honor of Cherie Blair at the time.
Yeah, she was, that's right, she was there. Well, we don't call her the First Lady, but she was the Prime Minister's wife, and Laura Bush as well.
Laura Bush.
First Lady, of course. And this is all coming from, I mean, just to let our UK listeners know, I mean, Carnegie Hall is a big deal out there, isn't it? I mean, it's as big as you can get performance-wise in New York, or in the US, really, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. And then after the first one, I got really a great reviews. Then I got the second one and the others. And then I performed throughout the United States. And then at one of the performances, I was noticed by the program director of PBS, which is a public broadcasting system in the United States that promoted the concerts of Bocelli, Sarah Brightman, Pavarotti and friends, and all the biggest stars of kind of a classical crossover music without interruptions. So that's the only TV station in the United States where you could actually hear the full concerts without ads, without anything. And so she says, we would like to do something with you. And she said, I think you can reach a very big audience with what you're doing. And let's see what you're suggesting that we can do with you. So I said, well, my mission is always to bring people and different cultures together, and the United States is anyway melting pot. So how about if I create a program from Gershwin Rhapsody in Blue to another Rhapsody to Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen to my own music, ending with some Americana? And she says, that's fantastic. So how about like Las Vegas? I said, well, I may look flamboyant outside, but I'm quite kind of conservative inside in terms of my traditional values. And I went through wars, and I fought for my own self and my family. And then someone said, well, how about West Point? And I said, West Point? What the hell that has to do with music? Well, they said they have the best musical concert band, the best musicians of, you know, the horns, and they don't have strings, but it's all the band orchestra. Yeah. So yeah, military band, but it's the one of the most celebrated in the world, where all these musicians from Juilliard, from Yale University, from Curtis, they all come if they want to join a concert band. And they have a fantastic glee club. Glee club is all comprised of cadets. And I said, that's great. So one of my first surrogate American parents, I can say, they adopted me when I came here. And he was West Point graduate of 48. He passed away many years ago. But at the time, in 2008, he said, okay, so I will just send the letter to the PR of West Point, United States Military Academy. Well, 2 days later, he gets a note that they're interested. Oh, how would that? At the time, I was not an American citizen yet. And so I went with my agent to the meeting, and with those so-called American parents, and we start talking with the conductors. They were all great musicians, and they said, we think this is great, and PBS wants to film that. That's phenomenal. So that's how it all started, and I created a program called Marina at West Point, Unity Through Diversity.
And we're going to hear more about that in a minute, but for now, let's take a little bit of a break and hear another track that Marina uploaded to her YouTube channel in the last few weeks. This is a song which originally appears in the movie Anna, which was released in June last year, starring Sasha Luss, Luke Evans, Cillian Murphy, Helen Mirren and Alexander Petrov. This song was originally performed by the artist Beauty Freak, and it's called My Beauty. That was Marina Arsenevich with tenor John Ryson and My Beauty. Marina, we were talking about your TV program for PBS. What happened since then?
Since then, I have performed many, many times, and I promoted so many times. But it happens to be one of the had the most audience over the past 10 years, and becoming one of the longest running single concerts of PBS with over 170 million viewers. And over 550 broadcasts, which comes about once a week in the United States. And PBS in the United States has about 354 stations. So you can imagine that. And they use that, how they survive. They use that as a fundraising tool for the station. So as you understand, if you're not interested for audience, they drop you after the first showing. But apparently this didn't happen. So since then, I have created a great relationship with them. And it could be that my next concert will be filmed actually in Belgrade. And we are talking about next summer, July 28th. And I might bring if everything is culturally right and diplomatically, if COVID let us do it, I might bring these two countries together that were together as allies during the World War One and Two. But as you know, we had the rough patches in the 90s. So that's, I think that music unites us all, and music brings so much to our lives. And if I can bring the mission to all that, then I feel fulfilled.
And your television career has been, it's been very successful because you've been nominated for an Emmy as well.
Yes. I've been nominated for an Emmy. That also came out of blue because in combination were also David Foster and other great producers. And I didn't know how is this possible, but that's possible.
No, it's a fantastic achievement. Not many people can say that's happened to them. Let's talk a little bit about your music. You've got a YouTube channel, which has been very active this year. But there's a lot of variety there, from sort of classical music up to covers of modern day songs. So who are your musical inspirations from both the classical world and elsewhere?
As I said, I started very classical, and I would say that from like classical, I would say Mozart, Beethoven, Chopin, Rachmaninoff, Franz Liszt. That's about what is my core of a classical. Transferring that into a so-called classical crossover with ethnic involvement or world music is that what I told you, from my Balkan soul to all the music that I have created here in a form of CD called Fire and Soul, which I updated with the new beats, with electronics, with strings, a core kind of a rock band, and some voices. And to these days where I get inspired, I like, if I can say old-timers, but if... Right. Yeah, old-timers, if I can say, because if you talk about Elvis, Frank Sinatra, and others, or Tom Jones, which I did Delilah, those for me are classics of today. And so I was always... I love that music, and I would sing that by myself, just for myself. And when COVID started, actually John Ryson, a young American tenor that I met last December, you wouldn't believe, in a garage of somebody's home, where he and his wife were doing some Christmas fundraising event, and I was invited to hear this young tenor, and so I was very pleased with what I heard. So when COVID started, John contacted me through Instagram, actually. He said, "Listen, this is a long shot. You may not see this either. Well, you're so famous and I'm starting, but maybe we can do something together. And I really liked that attitude, that fearless and no hold back. And so you just ask what else you can happen. I can say no, or I don't answer. So I just like that. And he says, we can do some Broadway stuff too. So, ever since the COVID started, I have been doing all sorts of my own combinations of Game of Thrones with Rachmaninoff, Star Wars with Beethoven combination, Mozart with some of the Canadian composer. I don't know if you remember Music Box Dancer and Peter Piper, but I did everything like a my spin. That would be inspiration, that would be the start, and then I'm inspired by that. It creates something completely different and new. To all these new arrangements that I created as a duet for piano and voice. So it's not like a typical that you would have a singer and a pianist would accompany. No, I created, as you probably realized, I created a full kind of piano concertos where you have a full solo of pianos with virtuosity, adding all that Franz Liszt or Prokofiev or Rachmaninoff sounds with this big voice that this John has as a tenor. So I've seen that people like that. So I kept creating new and new. And the newest one I did were Delilah and My Beauty. My Beauty, I've heard the first time it's a movie, Anna. It's a movie that was half well received. But I remember the music. And I said, oh my God, I can create something completely with me singing too. So I was singing, and I created this big sound of rhythmical sound with virtuosity with John sound. Of his big voice. And the latest one I did was Queen We Are the Champions that I just, it's just now on YouTube and on Spotify will be on October 24th and Apple Music.
That's a very good example of what you were talking about with your covers, because there are plenty of people who put up covers, piano covers, guitar covers in their own way. But you really do, I mean... We Are the Champions is a good example because it is a piano piece, but you really do make it sound like it's from a concerto from Chopin or somebody like that.
I thought that. And you know what? It's interesting because I've talked to many industry people, and they reach out to ask me if I want to work with them. Or it's almost like I felt I'm David Foster, and now I'm working with new Celine Dion or new this and that. And I said, well, it's not the same because I'm in core really a virtuoso pianist. And I compose and I could create these different arrangements. But what they say it's different. Usually classical musicians try to popularize just the classical music and make it more pop. So they add a beat or something. Mm-hmm. This is kind of opposite. I take, at this time, I take a pop classics and I made them more as a whatever
you turn it into
said.
A classical classic, really, don't you?
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes. Because I feel that that's a classics of today.
And, they're sounding fantastic. You have uploaded a lot over the last couple of months, actually. And I guess this is a reaction to the fact that you can't play live at the moment because of COVID.
Absolutely, yes. Because it's like turn our lives upside down, so... I have been promoting my music via social media for quite a while. So when COVID started and everything was canceled like mid-March, I had two options: to go back to my apartment in Midtown Manhattan, or come back to my home in Michigan. And I decided to be in Michigan because I have space, I have nature. And I turned my living room into recording and filming studios. And that's what I have been doing. And now we are actually building also a streaming platform just for myself.
You can play live over the internet then?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I will be playing live. And then that will be the option for all my fans on all the platforms to join me there in different ways of membership. So you see, you just have to move forward. And this is music is a business, as we all know. Mm. I don't like that word, but that's how it is.
Yeah,
that's how it is. And you have to see where the outlets where you can reach people. And it's much more easier now to do it.
Now, YouTube and live streaming, obviously, they're very modern ways of getting your music out to your fans. But are you considering the old-fashioned ways as well? Are you looking to get in the studio and put an album together anytime soon?
Yes, actually, we have been talking. I have been talking to several audio recording guys to do recordings of the new music and new album. And I might be doing that in a month or two with all the new tracks that I have created during the COVID. But for now, my PR guy actually suggested that it's such a great thing that I do all these singles and upload them, and eventually you have a full album for all of them.
Yeah. Now got some other interesting plans in the pipeline as well at the moment. You're looking to get involved in some sort of interesting opera projects.
Yes, actually, I have been working on Tesla music ever since 27 years ago when I promoted the first time my composition Tesla's Journey at the site of first Tesla Science Museum in outside New York City. It's Shoreham, New York. Mm. After that, since Tesla, Nikola Tesla was like me, Serbian American, and he is one who actually gave us everything we have today in terms of remote controls and everything that's being streamed since he invented alternating current. And thanks to Elon Musk, that name lives today through his auto company. And by the way, I drive Tesla. and during that time, Elon's mother, May Musk, who afterwards became quite a big model. She was a model forever, but first cover girl at 69 was Elon's mother. And so she wanted to meet me. She asked, who is that Marina who did Tesla music? And ever since, I realized that being with the people who can create something out of nothing, speaking of Elon as the guy who is a new Howard Hughes of today, I could say, when he turns everything into a new adventure, a new venture that becomes successful between his SpaceX and Tesla's cars and everything else he's doing. I have decided to turn my Tesla all piano compositions. First, I turn into a piano concerto, which is finished. And then now I'm working on a Tesla opera, which I'm creating actually all different parts, and I already have half through, I think, created stuff. And during this period, I met so many people who can be of a help as orchestrators, as for example, I'll give John a role of Edison. And so...
The great rival.
The great rival. Mm-hmm. I said, John, you will be the evil in this whole thing. But I hope that the big new concert will happen next summer in Belgrade, being filmed for PBS, where I can bring West Point cadets. It will be historic event. It has never happened ever in history.
That's going to be a very big project, isn't it? I mean, it was going to take up a lot of your time, I think, but it will be very worthwhile in the end to see it finally take to the stage.
Absolutely, yes. Absolutely, yes. And we don't know. In the United States, every big stage is postponed up until next, actually, September. Mm. if you're talking about the biggest stages of Carnegie Hall's Metropolitan Opera. The smaller stages somehow will start to move from the, I guess, beginning of next year. But for this year in the United States, pretty much everything is shut down. So this is the only way how we can communicate with the audience.
Yeah.
And so thank you for promoting. This is the way that you can promote me and my music.
No, there's a lot of people waiting to see a lot of performances once, you know, society starts to get back to normal, which I'm sure it will do next year. You know, there's a lot to look forward to musically. I mean, is there anything that you're looking forward to in the next 12 months? What are your hopes?
What are my hopes? Well, my hopes are actually to reach as many people as I can with my music. And I understand the media that is giving to us, like Spotify, Apple, iTunes, Pandora, whatever, it's over there, Amazon, and all social media that I'm involved as Instagram, Facebook, that will bring my music even to more millions, even though through PBS I reached so many millions of people. But I hope that through streaming services that would be even broader and wider, that I could then continue with the live performances with reaching more and more people.
Marina, thank you very much for your time today. It's been absolutely brilliant talking to you about your life in music and where it's been taking you. We're wishing you all the best with it, and we're looking forward to hearing the opera maybe next year and seeing what else comes out from it. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Paul, for this wonderful talk with you.
Well, that's the end of our special interview with Marina Arsenevich. Hope you enjoyed it. If you missed any of it or you'd like to know more about her, go to phoenixfm.com. Click on the main page. You'll see the interview on there with links to her social media, her YouTube, her official website. Going to leave you now with her own take on a classic from Queen. This is We Are the Champions.
Committed no crime, and bad mistakes I've made a few. I've had my share of sand kicked to my face, but I've come through. We are the champions, my friends, and we'll keep on. dress.